Good morning, everybody. Thank you, those of you that led us in worship. Greg and Abram and Sherry, thank you for sharing those talents with us. Today, I'm especially grateful in this week for our pastors of putting a service together and sharing the word, and just so grateful for how the Lord has taken care of our church with so many faithful people in this church, but then our pastors, and so I'm grateful for that today. Let's pray before we begin. Lord, I thank you again for your love for us as we were singing, and Lord, I pray that we would take time to be holy and spend time in secret with you. I thank you for this message this morning that you've been working on my heart. I just pray that you would help it come across clearly from your word what you want us to hear today. Be with our pastors. Is there a way? We thank you for our new pastor being here. I thank you for Abe and just how you made him and prepared a way for him and trained him up with his family and his life. And we just thank you, Lord, for your word. I just pray that it would speak to us this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. So it probably won't be a shock to most of you, but I like sports. Sometimes I think my wife thinks I might like sports a little bit too much, but I do appreciate sports in a lot of ways. They have taught me a lot about life and about discipline. So my first two illustrations this morning are partially related to sports, but I think you'll see how they apply to this area of life and our spiritual walk. So I was watching the NBA and NHL playoffs with my boys. They stayed up a little too late a couple nights. But we watched these Game 7s, and one thing about Game 7, it's a exciting playoff game. The team that wins moves on. And as I'm watching these games, I see people with their phones out, and they're right on the court or right by the sideline, and all they care about is getting a video to put on whatever, Snapchat or Instagram, whatever the newest, or TikTok, whatever the newest video platform is. And I don't want to bash the younger generation. We all use our phones or on our phones too much. But I got to thinking, do they actually care about the game they're watching, or do they care about posting it so that everybody says, I can't believe you were there, that's so great. So do they actually care about what's happening in front of them or everybody else appearing that they're liking it or celebrate that moment with them? And it got me thinking about my Christian walk. Even as I was preparing this message, I thought, well, I want people to like me and tell me that my sermon was good. You're doing a good job. You really must care about God's word. And then I got to thinking, that's not really, shouldn't be our motive, right? Do I really care about God's word and him being glorified in my life? Do we really care about what we say we care about? Now to a second brief story, another article that I read this week is Kevin Durant, a forward for the Phoenix Suns, received a lifetime contract with Nike. The only other two people that I read about that have had a lifetime contract are LeBron James and Michael Jordan. So it's quite a deal for both sides. I don't know what all the details were of payment, but it's a lifelong contract for Kevin Durant. And I thought, man, that would be pretty cool. But then I started to think about how I even have a better deal as a Christian. I am an heir with Christ that lasts beyond this lifetime. And many of you are as well. As Galatians 4 tells us, we are heirs with Christ. I'm thankful that many of us have accepted this offer that is far superior to a lifetime contract. But then I got to thinking, how am I holding up my end of the bargain? Not to question our salvation or make us think that we need to do more to earn God's love. We can't change those things. They are sealed, and they're sure. But we are called for a purpose. So are you fulfilling your duty? Are we fulfilling our duty as lifetime or lifelong ambassadors for Christ? 2 Corinthians 5:20 tells us, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So do we really care? I've been asking myself this question a lot, and I hope you'll explore it with me this morning. Do we really care about what we say we care about? We're going to read two passages as we begin, so let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to read verses 1 through 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives as he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean when he had also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above the heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And then turn over a few pages to Colossians chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. Colossians chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you indeed were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So the Ephesians passage is briefly, we are given clear direction how to walk in this life as believers and how we are to work together. So do we care to do it? And about in the Colossians, it's quite a standard of all we do being in the name of Christ. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. So do you care more about people thinking that you care? Or do you really actually care about God and your faith? If we are serious, I believe we must care about the following areas. So the first one this morning might seem a little strange when you first hear it, but do you care about yourself? Not like in a narcissistic or vain sort of caring for ourselves, but rather caring about our duty to the one true God, taking time in secret with him like we sang in that song. Really, do we care what Paul says in Philippians 2, verse 3 about not being selfish and counting others better than ourselves? We need to hear these things again and again. So when I say to care about yourself, I mean it in a biblical way, so that we can serve others with the right heart. So how can we do that? I believe it is a day-by-day thing. DC Talk had a song when I was a teenager in high school, I think. I like the beat and all that. DC Talk is a music group, if you don't know who they are, but a lot of good songs. So I liked their song. It was called Day by Day. And so when I first heard it, I just thought it was a fun song and exciting. But as I've gotten older, I've realized there's a lot of truth in that song. So I'm going to read some of the first part of the song for you. It goes like this. I live a simple life. I take it day at a time. I spend my mornings with God before I hit the grind. The subtleties of darkness never cease to amaze as a physical world creates a spiritual haze. Blinded by distractions, lost in matterless affairs, reaching through the darkness, trusting you will meet me there. And then the chorus goes day by day, day by day, day by day. It goes on and it says, oh dear Lord, three things I pray. To see thee more clearly, to love thee more dearly, and to follow thee more nearly. day by day. And as I was looking at those lyrics and thinking through them this week, I thought many of us do live a simple life here on the prairie of South Dakota and take life day at a time. But do we spend our mornings with Him before we hit the grind of the day? If we don't, it's so easy to get blinded by distractions and the matterless affairs of the day. Do we trust God that He will be with us day by day? Is your prayer to see Thee more clearly, love Thee more dearly, and follow Thee more nearly, day by day? There's nothing magical about the Christian life. It is simple steps that we take each day. Sadly, there are probably some of us in this room that have not picked up our Bible in weeks. Verse 14 of Colossians 3, we just read, "And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." Putting on love. It's an action thing that we need to do. In verse 1, in Ephesians 4, told us to walk in a manner worthy. Are we walking in a manner worthy of what we are called to do? Our spiritual condition is revealing of it, isn't it? Are you short-tempered? Are you anxious and worried? Do you have doubts? Does foul language come out quickly? And the list goes on, right, of the things that we do that are not glorifying to the Lord. If we're honest, we know our true condition of where we're at with the Lord. Matthew 12, verse 34 tells us, "For out of an abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." We can't hide it as well as we think we can. As I was reflecting on this message, for some reason I thought about something that, thought about my dad. And my dad not only had dad jokes growing up, but there's also these dad phrases that dads say. Some were just dumb, like when we were leaving to go somewhere, he'd say, "The miles don't drive themselves, let's get going." Or in the mornings, he'd come down and say, "Daylight in the swamp." And so we laugh about those things. He'd tell us he went to the School of Hard Knocks. Some funny things like that. There were many other funny, less consequential phrases. But some, however, were very important and meaningful. And one of them that I remembered as I was preparing this message that the Holy Spirit brought to me was, he would say, "Garbage in, garbage out." Now, I'd like to say that that is now an outdated phrase and doesn't apply to me now, but that would be inaccurate. It is still true today as much as when he first said it to me. The things that I put into my heart and into my mind are what come out of my mouth. It will never change until the day that I reach glory, and it is the same for you. James 3:10 reminds us, "From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so." In a common verse, Romans 12, 1 and 2 reminds us, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." We need to be careful what we consume. You may think it's only secular things like the news, movies, music, but we need to be discerning on all things that we listen to. Even the teaching of God's word is extremely vital. What we consume matters. Hebrews 13, if you want to turn there, Hebrews 13, 7 through 9 reminds us. Hebrews 13, verses 7 through 9. "Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not been benefited those devoted to them." Are the people that you're listening to someone to imitate? Are they truthful in all their ways? Do you look up to who you're listening to on that sermon or podcast? There are many people that I enjoy listening to. Alistair Begg is one excellent preacher. I grew up listening in the van driving around town. I grew up listening to Charles Swindoll, or Chuck Swindoll as he's known, that my mom had on the radio in the car. And I didn't realize I was listening to it, but I know that the word of the Lord doesn't return void. And so I'm thankful that my mom, even though we complained about listening to another preacher on the radio, that she played that in the car. Many of you have excellent pastors that you listen to on a regular basis. I don't think Ron's here, but I thought about Ron. I know he really liked Charles Stanley, who passed away a couple weeks ago. And I will say it's sad when I thought that he passed, or I heard that he passed away, but then I got to thinking, what a blessed time that we live in with technology. You can go on and find, especially more well-known preachers, and you can find sermon archives of these faithful preachers, and you can listen to them for years after. And so it's a huge blessing of the time that we live in. So it's a great thing that we can do that. So if the preaching at your church or at your pulpit you struggle with, or especially maybe on days like today, is lacking, you have endless resources online that you can find. Now on podcasts, I would say there is some value in listening to debate and different sides of an argument, but make sure you check God's word after you listen to them. Don't just take people's word for it or what it says. Make sure you get into it when you listen to those debates and roundtable discussions on podcasts. So just be careful, check it with your own Bible, and don't blindly follow those. So if we intently care about ourselves and our spiritual health, we need to take time to be in His Word. And we will seamlessly care about the other areas I believe that we'll talk about this morning. So let's dive into them. The next one, do you care about your family? Have you given them time this week? Have you said you love them in deed and action, or just by your mouth? As Clint said earlier, I was really encouraged when I showed up last night. Calvin had told me that Abe was moving in. I was rather encouraged when I showed up and I saw your brothers and I think your cousin or somebody there. I was pretty happy. And so it's awesome to see in those areas that your family loves you, not just by word, but they showed you in deed by taking the time to help you move, and that was a cool thing. But if we are serious about our faith, we will take care of our families beyond just physical and financial. Each family is a bit different. But men, are you providing more than just a paycheck and groceries? Moms, are you providing more than just meals and cleaning? Don't misunderstand me, those things need to be done. But your job is not complete when you check off those boxes. We must take time to have meals together, open our Bibles together, and actually talk to each other. I admit some weeks are better than others. I would say if you're struggling to find good resources for family devotions, just start reading a book of the Bible, first of all. But if you have younger children, I encourage you to listen to Keys for Kids. They have a website and they have an app with a great little 3 to 5 minute devotional just getting into God's Word. It's a great resource. Our families need us, men, to guide them in the truth. Hebrews 13, verses 4 through 6 says this. Hebrews 13, verses 4 through 6. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Those of us that are married, stay with your spouse. Your children and grandchildren will thank you for it. I thank you for it today. Those who have stayed when it would be easy to run and worked it out, thank you. It has had an impact on me and all the others in this body of believers. So keep on being faithful in your marriage relationship. Now to the children, obey your parents. They know you best. Stop rebelling in your heart and running. If you are truly born again, the one you are really running from is God. So don't be deceived. Your parents aren't dumb and neither is God. You need them. There's one simple thing that we can start doing this week to help transform our families. listening. One story that I heard in a message a few years back, and I think Tim and a couple other guys were there, is Tim's friend Tom Henderson has a ministry down in Sioux Falls, and he told a story about his, I think it was his daughter, one of his kids. They were sitting in the living room, and his daughter was talking to him, and they were having a conversation, and he was watching SportsCenter, was on the TV, and his daughter was sitting here, and she said, "Are you listening, Daddy?" And he said, "Yeah, I'm listening," as he's watching the TV. And she grabbed him, I think, by the face, I think it was, and she said, "Are you listening with your face, Daddy?" And she kind of grabbed and turned his face, and I think that was something that's always stuck with me, because I think my kids probably had that happen a few times where I say I'm listening, but I'm watching the TV. And so that's a convicting thing to just listen with our face and give people our full attention in our families, whether it be children or spouse or someone else. A few verses just to help us remind us of our interactions with each other and our families. Proverbs 15:1-2. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. And James 1:19, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. I am guilty as anyone on this. Just last weekend, we were heading up to Minnesota, and the voices started raising in the back of a couple of my children fighting or arguing, and things were reaching fever pitch. So, of course, I gently, calmly rebuked them with a tender, soft voice, right? You don't believe me? No, you are right. I didn't. As I was raising my voice at them not to yell and to be quiet, I myself am yelling now. It's not the best way to calm a situation. But thankfully, the Lord is gracious and merciful and slow to anger. What a model he is for us, and we should strive to be like him. Care for your family this week. They need you. The next one, do you care about fellow believers? Your church and brothers and sisters in Christ. There's so many hurts and pains in this body. Often they go unspoken to the group at large. And there's a lot of wisdom in that. Some things are better between two or three people or just one person to confide in. But the needs are endless in this body. I think a couple of good gauges as to whether or not you care about the family of God are this. Have you helped anyone in the past month? Or has anyone asked you for help in the last month? If neither of these is true, I think it takes some further investigation of yourself. Why haven't I helped anyone? Why hasn't anyone asked me? Is your life so filled up with other things that you don't have time to help a fellow brother or sister? Excuses are endless, but a loving response and searching eyes will find you something. If no one has asked you, or confided in you, maybe you're not trustworthy. And maybe it's with good reason that they haven't confided in you. We must be men and women of integrity, so when someone needs us, we can be called upon to help. There are men in this church that have supported me in difficulty and trial. Men, are you going to be that for the next guy who needs it? Women, are you going to be there for the next hurting mother? Young people, are you just going to huddle with your besties this summer when the new seventh graders come in for youth group? Or are you going to go out of your way to reach out to them? One other thing is, I think we often say we care about people, but have we given of our own time to just spend time with them, to ask somebody to go out to dinner, go for a walk, have them over to eat? Have we visited the elderly who can't get out as easily as you can? It is stated so often, and rightfully so, they will know we are Christians by our love for one another. 1 John 3:16 reminds us. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. We have a great model for us, and we need to lay down our lives for fellow believers. Care for fellow believers this week. They need you. Next one, do you care about our pastors? They need us. Of course, we need them too. Here are just three things this morning to know if you're caring for our pastors. The first one is financial, the second one is prayer, and the third one is words of encouragement. I know there are many more that I thought of that I could put down, but I thought these three were extremely important. They need to be taken care of, need to pray for them, and we need to offer them words of encouragement. I think we need to spend more time praising God for the gifts that they've been given, our pastors, and less time complaining about those they haven't been given. They aren't perfect, and they never will be. Pastor Jim and Jason, we know well. Abe, we don't know yet. I know you probably have some weaknesses, right? He has some, right? And we're going to find out, and we have an opportunity to work through that and to love him through that and to build him up in those things and also be thankful for the strengths that he has. I do know a few things that are true about our pastors. They love you. They pray for you. Their hearts break for you, and they've even cried for you. They protect you, and they sacrifice for you. At the very least, we owe them the same. I would argue even more. We want them to focus on what God's called them to do, so support our pastors. One verse on this is Hebrews 13, verse 17. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy, not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Care for our pastors this week. They need you. And last one this morning, do you care about lost souls? I'm thankful for this church, like I've stated. I'm thankful for the heart and the generosity, especially when it comes to missions work. If you look at the wall back there, the missionaries, it's such an encouragement, and we do well in that area. Our job, however, is not complete when the check is written. I don't mean to diminish a heart of giving and writing a check. However, that is not all we are called to do. If Jesus has saved us, we must share the good news with our own local community. Does our church or do you make a difference at all? Would our community know if we were gone as a church or if you were gone? Do we serve our community at all? If not, why not? Hebrews 13, verses 1 and 2. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect showing hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And Isaiah 6, 8 says, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. Sometimes we think about here I am, send me, and we think it's all about being sent far away to tell others about him. But I believe our communities will be changed if we wake up each morning and say, here I am, instead of, what are you going to do for me today, God? I think our church does an awesome job in a lot of areas. One thing that we haven't maybe done well on lately, but one goal we have is if you have it, and I guess just a plug there, if you have a need or see something in the community, after men's breakfast each month, if you know a need in the community, just spend a couple hours or a few hours in the morning, let one of the pastors or elders know so that we can be a blessing and show the love of Christ, whether it be just a small yard project or fixing gutters, whatever it would be. We want to show the love of Christ to people so that we can earn the right to speak into their lives. So if you have a need, let us know. So a couple other questions on that is, would you risk anything for the lost? Would you make a sacrifice to share Christ with your neighbor? Would you rake their leaves or shovel their driveway 100 times just to have one chance to share Christ with them? Or maybe even more difficult than doing a task for them, is to not holding something against them when you are justified in your position to hold it against them, or you are right. We don't face much risk of harm in sharing our faith in our world here in Miller-St. Lawrence area or here in South Dakota. I have a friend here this morning, Abram, I'm going to have him come back up. He shared some music with us a little bit earlier, and he's going to share a little bit of perspective on what it means to risk it all for Jesus. So Abram's going to share now.
Thank you, Mr. Hall. So why should we care about lost souls? I could see my parents for the most of their lives share the gospel to the people they've never met in their lives. When we were refugees in India about 7 to 8 years from now, my dad told me a story that he met an Afghan across the street wanting to buy bread, and he was someone who came with his brother who had a medical condition up there. And so my dad starts talking to him, and soon he meets his brother, goes to their apartment complex, and he meets his brother, and he sees that his brother is in the bed. He has tried every treatment he could in India, but still was not healed. So my dad offers him if he could pray for him in the name of Jesus. And his brother, who was sick, out of excitement and joy that someone has come to see him in a foreign country, requests him to pray for him in the name of Jesus. So my dad prays for him in the name of Jesus, and the other brother who is standing with him, he soon recognizes that my dad prays in the name of Jesus, our Savior, who died for us and who came for our sins. So he goes to the Afghan, to the apartment complex, and gathers all the other Afghans who are Muslim and who are from the community to argue with my dad. Giving a little context of our culture, Christianity is a forbidden religion in our country, and Muslims hate Christians. They are taught to be to hate Christians. And if they see or if they catch anyone sharing gospel with them, they are permitted by the religion to stone and kill them on the spot. So as this occurs, they take my dad to the balcony of the apartment complex, and he tells him that if they were not in India, they would have thrown him off the balcony, which was a few stories high and which had caused my dad to be dead. I paused and asked my dad why then he really did care about the people who rejected Christ, and are they still worth talking and sharing the gospel? Well, my dad's story does not end there. My dad said he didn't feel any fear in him when they told him that they would throw him off the balcony, not because he had the strength to fight those five people, but because the Holy Spirit had given him confidence to stand for the truth. He hugged them and said a final goodbye. But after 6 months, as my dad was in the market again, he felt a hug from his back. The same guy who told him that he's going to throw him off the balcony hugged him and said that his brother got healed after the prayer my dad did, and now he believes in Jesus. My dad reminded me that Jesus came for the sinners and not for the righteous. Luke 5:32. I have not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. And he commands us in Matthew 28:19 to go and make disciples of him, because everyone is made in his image precious. And whoever loves him will obey him. If we love God, we would love our neighbor, and just not our neighbor, but our enemies, because they're the ones who are lost in the world. People who are lost, they try to find things that complete them, and the world offers worldly desires and pleasures that will make them feel empty and take them deeper into sinning. But Jesus says that he came to fulfill our thirst and hunger, because he is the living bread and the water and the fountain for our souls. We are all made in His image, and everyone has a soul that will live forever, either with God or either without God after this life. We have become lost souls since Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and when we were kicked out of the garden into the wilderness, we were just not physically lost, but also spiritually. But Jesus came for the lost. As we look at the parable of the lost sheep in Luke 15, Jesus expresses how much He wants to save us and how much He wants to save the lost, where He would leave the 99 righteous and go to find one lost. He will not leave the sheep who is lost behind. When we share the gospel to anyone, we always take a risk, a danger that can come on us. And do everyone and every category Mr. Hall just talked about, ourselves, our families, our fellowship. But that's what we are called for. God take care of it as we move forward. The Holy Spirit gives us the confidence and a heart to love those around us and to love them, and still being able to tell them that God loves them, but they're lost into the world and they need to seek Him who can give Him eternal life. Now that we know why we should care about the lost and lost souls, let's challenge ourselves and ask, who are the lost around us? Who are the lost in our neighborhood, in our workplace? And let's ask God to give us a heart and eyes to see them around us. Thank you.
Thanks, Abram. So do you care about the lost? They need Jesus. So as we head out of here and into the week, I hope you will ask yourself the question this week, if you really care about what you say you care about. Do you care about your spiritual health and growth? Do you care about your family? Do you care about our pastors? Do you care about each other? And do you care about the lost souls that desperately need Jesus? I pray the Holy Spirit will help us or help you answer these questions this week, and that we will make a difference for the kingdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your Holy Spirit convicts us. I thank you that your Holy Spirit can give us the strength to love our families well, love our pastors, to love each other and be forgiving. Lord, I pray that our hearts would break for the lost and that your Holy Spirit would just guide us in sharing with our neighbors and friends that so desperately need you. Just pray your blessing upon this week now. In your name we pray. Amen. At this time, we're going to pass the offering plates again for a love offering for Jill Wyant. Let's pray for her, and then we'll take that offering. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to share and to help Jill with the medical the bills and the needs that she has. I thank you for some healing that's happened for her, but I just know that it's been a trying time. I just pray that whatever we can give would be a blessing to her this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.
Please stand and join together in singing our closing hymn of 284. They'll know we are Christians by our love. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord, we are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord, and we pray that unity may one day be restored, and they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love, yes, no, we are Christians by our love. We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. And we'll guard each man's dignity and save each man's pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. All praise to the Father from whom all things come. And all praise to Christ Jesus, his only Son. And all praise to the Spirit who makes us one. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
I received a birthday card last week. I thought I'd share the cover with you. It says, "Just think, you're not here by chance, but by God's choosing. His hand formed you and made you the person you are.